From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, November 19th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
A woman in her 40s from Kennebec County is the latest person in Maine to die of COVID-19. The total number of deaths is now 171, and the state CDC is reporting that 88 people are in the hospital, including 35 in intensive care. The number of new cases today is 215, with 2,160 active cases. Meanwhile, the Maine Center for Disease Control is revising the way it investigates probable cases of COVID-19. As Patty White reports, the change is aimed at assuring that state resources are directed at the new coronavirus as the state enters the cold and flu season.
The Maine CDC will now investigate probable cases of COVID-19 only after a person receives a positive test result. Previously, symptomatic close contacts of individuals with COVID-19 were considered probable cases. But in a news release, CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says that the symptoms for COVID-19 are similar to those of the cold and flu. Waiting for a positive test result, he says, will ensure that state resources can be focused on COVID-19. The CDC also says that the recent surge in cases means it may no longer be able to contact those who receive a positive test result within 24 hours. The agency is advising people to isolate while they wait for a call from the CDC and to urge their close contacts to get tested. The agency says it's boosting its workforce by redeploying 25 staff to work on case investigations and contact tracing. About 20 members of the Maine National Guard are also being trained, and additional staff are expected to be added each week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The family of a former resident of the Maplecrest Rehabilitation Facility in Madison, who died after contracting COVID-19, has filed a civil claim alleging negligence on the part of the Big Moose Inn. The facility hosted a wedding reception that public health officials believe led to the spread of hundreds of cases of the virus and several deaths. Robbie Feinberg has that story.
Mary Hugel was 82 when she died from COVID-19 at the Maplecrest Rehabilitation and Living Center in Madison earlier this year, one of several deaths that public health officials have now linked to the Millinocket wedding outbreak. Attorney Tim Kenlin represents Hugel's estate.
You know, the issue is that led us here is that those businesses and folks who chose to disobey those guidelines or flout them have allowed this virus to spread, and that's what caused my client Mary Hugel to pass away.
Kenlin says he's still investigating the case, but expects to file a formal lawsuit in the next few months. The action follows the release of a federal CDC report last week detailing the Millinocket wedding outbreak and its eventual spread across the state. The report found that while some precautions were taken at the August 7th event at the Big Moose Inn, including temperature checks and signs dictating mask wearing, the 55-person gathering exceeded Maine's 50-person limit. The report also says that staff members didn't enforce mask wearing and social distancing. A guest transmitted the virus to a Maplecrest staff member who authorities say continued to work despite showing symptoms. Six deaths at Maplecrest have now been connected to the wedding.
You know, what we saw was that this greatly increased the risk that the virus is going to be transmitted through that group of people and then transmitted to others who then brought it to the Maplecrest nursing facility.
Paul Brown, an attorney representing the Big Moose Inn, disputes the facility's role. Brown says the inn did follow executive orders by posting signs requiring mask wearing and social distancing, and it shouldn't be held responsible if guests didn't follow them. He acknowledges the event did have more than 50 people, but says that doesn't make it directly responsible for effects down the line.
No, I just think it's very difficult to say that simply because there were more than 55 people that went to the dinner, that's where it happened. And that's what, you know, that's why you're responsible for this infection that ultimately spread, you know, multiple places.
Plaintiff's attorney Tim Kenlin says that he's also working with several other families who were affected by the outbreak as well. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
after retired University of Maine system employees filed a class action lawsuit over the system's proposed changes to health benefits, the system today announced that it will pause to address their concerns. In August, the university system announced it would transition its nearly 3,000 retired employees off of a group health insurance plan and instead provide them with stipends on an insurance exchange. Officials touted flexibility and cost savings in the new plan, but it has met with outcry from many former employees who say they'll face huge unexpected increases in health expenses. Today, 11 retirees filed a lawsuit calling for a halt to the changes and saying the move violated their rights under a union contract. In response, the system says it will pause to address concerns and work with union leaders and retiree representatives to determine if they would be better served on their current group plan. A controversial land-based salmon farm proposed in Belfast won 3 key state environmental permits today. But as Fred Bever reports, opponents say they are far from giving up.
The Nordic Aquafarms facility would produce 30,000 metric tons of salmon a year at a roughly 55-acre campus near Belfast Bay. In the process, it would draw about 5,200 gallons of fresh and salt water a minute and discharge some 7.7 million gallons of filtered wastewater into the bay. In an online meeting, the Board of Environmental Protection approved permits for impacts on air and water quality, including discharges to the bay, but not without conflict.
We have been denied the right to supplement the record, whereas Nordic has been allowed to supplement this record repeatedly since the record allegedly closed.
Kim Tucker, an attorney who's represented project opponents in various forums, made it clear that the new permits would get an administrative appeal, a first step towards challenging them in court.
Then I have preserved my ability to file this challenge in an ADC. We will be filing an ADC appeal. This process has not been a due process, and I have made my record, and I am done.
Other opponents say that while some 38 specific conditions regulators included in the permits may add an extra layer of protection for the bay, the project is still not as environmentally sensitive as it should be, putting aquaculture farms and human health at risk. Nordic Aquafarms CEO Eric Heim, meanwhile, says he is hopeful that after 3 years of work and with just a handful of other approvals still needed, the project can move toward groundbreaking by spring.
The only reason we are still in Belfast is because elected officials and a lot of support remain in Belfast. So I guess it's hard to make everyone happy every time. But we'll try. We'll keep trying.
An Army Corps of Engineers permit is still pending, while a court battle continues over who owns an intertidal property where Nordic is seeking a crossing easement for its discharge pipe. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And the emerald ash borer continues its spread across Maine, with 7 new infestation sites confirmed this fall. The Maine Forest Service announced today that the invasive insect, which kills ash trees, has been found in Van Buren, Gorham, Newfield, Ogunquit, Parsons Field, Shapley, and South Berwick. Colleen Tierling, an entomologist with the Maine Forest Service, says the news is discouraging.
In York and Cumberland County, we're on the leading edge of just a huge infestation from New Hampshire all the way through, you know, the eastern half of the U.S. So there are a lot of beetles there, and that is moving pretty quickly, that front.
That makes 16 towns in Maine with confirmed ash borer sightings. Since it was first discovered here in 2018 at opposite ends of the state in York and Aroostook counties, the infestation in northern Maine is smaller and spreading more slowly, says Tierling. No ash borers were found in Aroostook County last year, but one site in Van Buren was identified this year. Let's check in now on the weather. Tonight we'll have cloudy skies with lows in the low 20s to the mid 30s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy north with a chance of very light rain, otherwise partly sunny tomorrow with highs in the low 40s to mid 50s. On Saturday, partly sunny with highs in the mid 30s to mid 50s, and Sunday, mostly sunny except afternoon clouds in the west. Highs Sunday in the low 30s to the low 40s. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow morning for Maine Calling at 11 for a conversation about the role of mindfulness in stressful times. I'm Nora Flaherty.